Really uplifting. If we can have that PowerPoint on, we're away. Encouraging and challenging links. You know, Nigel spoke on the 22nd of May, and he, get this to work, he actually, apart from other things, he talked about the four friends who broke open the roof of a house and let their friend down in front of Jesus so he could be healed. And Nigel made these points. From Mark chapter 2, Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man whose four friends lowered him through the roof. And Nigel made these four points. The four men had a cause. They had a method. They had unity. And they had faith for a breakthrough. And you know, I sat there listening and following those notes up on the PowerPoint, and I thought, that's just what Evangelism Shift is about. It's actually about caring for people. It's about having a methodology so that we can be confident about sharing our faith with other people. It's about having a unity as a church to do that and having faith for a breakthrough. But even more than that, Nigel didn't know that for nearly 3 years we have been providing training in this church to try and build a disciple-making environment. And the whole thing peaks with people like you and me being involved with not yet Christian people, inviting them to come and be part of a series of videos called LifeWorks, to share our faith and to engage with them on a journey as to how they might come to Jesus just like we did. But the whole thing peaks in what's called multiplication. The thinking being we see new people become Christians, we actually train them, and then they actually go out and bring their friends in, and we get this sense of multiplication, and these seats that are in our church are no longer empty. And I just got very, very excited that this was Nigel, in a sense, being introduced to the church, and he is speaking what God gave him, and it's so much where we're at. Then we had Tim Lechter speak to us, and he spoke from Judges 6 and 7. And he spoke about Gideon and the Midianites. And these are the points that Tim made. He said, Judges 6 and 7 teaches us these three things. God sends weak people, but promises to be with them. I believe that Ash and I are feeling very weak today. COVID wasn't an issue for me. It's just a few other things that have been happening health-wise. But God sends weak people but promises to be with them. God graciously deals with our weaknesses and doubts. And I love this bit. God makes his people weak to show salvation comes through his strength. Well, do you know number five principle in Evangelism Shift is this: accepting my inadequacy and trusting Jesus to reach people through me. So if you're not feeling like, oh, gee, I don't know if I've got faith for the breakthrough, excellent. We're in the best state, you know. And when my good friend Murray, who actually got to worship at the football on Sunday, and by the way, just so you're clear, God has returned the world to balance. The Eagles won, the Dockers lost. Okay, let's... That doesn't get into our praise and worship this morning. Sorry about that. I love Dockers people. But folks, Murray asked me when I got here, how you feeling? Because I told him I might not be able to be here today. And God gave me a bit of a reprieve yesterday, and I feel half human today. But what I said to Murray is, Murray, God's got his biggest chance to work today because I am very weak. And God's strength is made powerful through our weakness. So I was just so encouraged by those two people, guest speakers, didn't know the history of our church, and they were focusing on key principles. So I went to the ministry committee and said, could we please do another Sunday on evangelism shift? And I hope you're not going to turn off because you're probably sick of hearing me talk about it. But I wanted to remind you that we have actually got a Bedford Community Church disciple-making environment. At least that's what we've been trying to build. And it's totally based on following Jesus' example of discipleship-making. So if you follow through from the diagram, what evangelism shifts taught us is that Jesus started with nothing. And his first step, if you analyze the way he shared the kingdom of God with people, it started with connection. He invited unconnected, lost people to come to his house, to sit at his feet. He listened to them, they listened to him. And that beautiful invitation to Zacchaeus, I'll stay at your house today. That was how Jesus started to contact people. Then, as those relationships were built, then people became seekers and they were one for Christ. That's probably where we are at the moment in this flow, is that we're still at Connect. We've had a number of people who've done the training. There's one group at the moment who are about to invite six people to join them to do the LifeWorks program, and that's what we're going to focus on this morning. I'm going to show you the 15-minute introduction video. Then Murray and myself are working on the build stage, where we're working on a 12-month discipleship program for people who come to Jesus in this church. And then we're going to train them, and then they bring in their friends, and we get the multiplication principle happening. And this church grows, and Jesus is glorified, and other people get to know and live in the wonderful faith. The things that we've been singing about today become, we get to see this, and we get all of the difficulties that go with new people in the family, adults who are actually now children and have got to learn the faith. Wow, I'm dying for that difficulty in our church. So I wanted to particularly focus today on LifeWorks. LifeWorks is like Alpha. How many of you either know about or been involved in Alpha? Do you know, I think the last adults that became Christians in this church became Christians through Alpha. That was a long time ago. LifeWorks is an Australian version, if you like, of inviting people that we've built a relationship with, non-Christian people, to come to an evening, a coffee and cake evening, and watch a 15-minute video, which is an introduction to Christianity, and then invite them, would you be willing to travel with us for the next 10 weeks or 8 weeks and be exposed to teaching about Christianity, and we just explore it together. So what I want to do now is show you the LifeWorks video. We've actually seen it before. It only goes for 15 minutes. But I just want to expose you to this again so that with this sense of God sends weak people, that we could have a breakthrough in this church. And guess who God might use? It's going to be those of us who are sitting in this church at the moment. He can use weak people like us to actually introduce people to Jesus, and we could invite them to come to this first evening. They watch this video, it's a social evening, and then we say, would you like to continue? So let's watch the video and then make a few comments about it at the end.
Thank you. Hi, I'm John. Let me ask you a question. How do you travel? I mean, when you're on a road trip, are you more of a destination person or a journey person? You know how it is. If you're a destination person, you just want to get there. You don't care about the scenery along the way. In fact, you hate stopping for any reason at all. If you finally have to stop, all you can think about while you're stopped is all the cars that you passed that are now passing you. You would never take the scenic route when you're going somewhere. But of course, if you're a journey person, you love taking the scenic route. You get as much out of the trip as you do out of the destination. Half the fun of getting there is the journey. You're going to stop and read the historical markers along the way. You're going to stop at restaurants and enjoy your meal. You tend to drive the speed limit. And in reality, you also drive destination people crazy. Well, I want to suggest to you today that when it comes to the ultimate issues of life, there is a destination worth heading towards and a journey worth taking. I want to encourage you to embark on a journey towards God. And I recommend to you the LifeWorks course as a very useful vehicle for you on that journey. I encourage you to investigate the Christian message. And you know, investigations are really important. They're useful, they're helpful. You investigate something to understand it or to find out the truth, to be able to make informed decisions. Now, some investigations are intriguing. They're interesting. Sometimes the answer might be staring you right in the face as you investigate and you don't even see it. Kind of like this cow picture. Now, just suppose you were flipping through my photo album and you saw this picture of a cow. You might think, oh yeah, nice cow, and keep flipping. But if I said to you, wait a minute, there's something that you should notice about this cow. Something unique about this cow, something different. Well, then you might take a little more time looking at it. Do you see it? Well, of course, the cow has the map of the world in the markings on its back. Well, is knowing God like this? Is knowing God something you can look at and think about and understand? Or is it really just for a few very spiritual people? I want to give you 5 good reasons why I believe you need to investigate the Christian message. Here's reason number 1. Because of its impact on human history. The Christian message has had such a major impact on human history that historians divide up all of human history into the years before Christ, that's BC, and the years after Christ, AD. The coins you've got in your pocket or purse have a date written on them, and they get that date from the impact Jesus had on our world. You know, when Jesus Christ came on the scene, he didn't just bring us another religion of moral rules and prohibitions. He didn't just say, do this and don't do that. Rather, he brought us a way to deal with our moral guilt. He showed us that real religion isn't just a commitment to morality, it is a living relationship with the God of the universe. And people started responding to Jesus' message. They found their lives totally transformed as they encountered God. So real is this experience that billions of people since then have chosen to become Christians. You may remember that the Romans tried to destroy Christianity by persecution. Remember that the Christians were thrown into the great arenas to fight hungry lions or gladiators. Lots of those Christians were even crucified or burned alive. But those Romans had never encountered anything like those Christians before. The Christians were willing to die for their faith, and they died singing. In fact, the way that Christians faced persecution only emphasized to others the reality of what they had found. And soon, millions of people were turning to Jesus Christ. You know, you can go anywhere in the world today and you'll find Christians making an impact for good in the very most difficult places in the world. You'll find Christian hospitals ministering to those who are suffering. You'll find Christian organizations feeding the hungry. The great justice systems of the world are based on Christian principles. Now, I don't want to be naive and ignore the fact that many injustices have also been perpetrated in the name of Christianity. There have been so many times and places where people have found it expedient to make Christianity into a political entity and use it for their own ends. You know something, though? When that happens, it ceases to be real Christianity. It becomes something else, something that's no longer attractive. It no longer changes people's lives for the better. It brings death rather than life. Well, regardless of what you think of the Christian message, if you want to understand human history, then you need to investigate the Christian message. Here's another reason you should investigate Christianity. You need to separate the fake from the real. Now, probably most of us here know people who call themselves Christians, but there is absolutely nothing about them that reminds us of Jesus Christ. You may even have gone to church somewhere, and instead of finding a place that was full of life, the church just seemed dead. You may have grown up in a church like that in your childhood, and it just made you never want to go to church again. But you know something? You never find a counterfeit unless the real thing exists. I'd be willing to bet that you've never heard of an FBI sting on a ring of Monopoly money counterfeiters, right? You only counterfeit the real thing. You may have encountered counterfeit Christians, counterfeit churches, but that ought to make you say, I need to investigate the Christian message and find out what the real thing is like. And that's what LifeWorks will let you do. LifeWorks is much more than factual instruction. As you hang out together each week, you get to rub shoulders with other people who are checking things out. Even better, you'll encounter some real Christianity. Find out what the real thing is all about. Here's reason three to investigate Christianity. Because at some point in your life, you really must confront the ultimate questions of life. I wonder if you ever doodle when you're talking on the phone. You know how it goes? You look around for anything to write on, usually an envelope or something like that. And when you start out just making a few lines, a few dots on the page. And then for the rest of the phone call, you just start connecting those lines and dots and seeing if you can make some kind of meaningful shape or meaningful whole out of it. Isn't that how we go in life? Early on in life, we're happy to just make our dots, to experience life as it comes. But there comes a point when we realize, I need to see if the dots connect. I need to see if there's meaning in life. We need to ask the big questions. Why am I here? What is God like? What happens when I die? Is there meaning in life? The ultimate questions of life. Have you ever asked yourself that question? Is there ultimate meaning in life? I remember watching the movie City Slickers, if you remember that comedy Western. And in that Western, there's an old, grizzled, gnarled cowboy named Curly. And he tells the main character, who's played by Billy Crystal, that he knows the meaning of life. And Billy Crystal immediately asks him, well, what is it? And Curly holds up that grizzled finger and he says, this is the meaning of life. And Billy Crystal says, what? The meaning of life is your finger? The meaning of life is one thing. Well, what is that one thing? That's what you have to find out. Well, that's why we've designed LifeWorks the way it is. LifeWorks isn't a situation where someone else just talks and you just listen. What I want to do is to give you a place to openly discuss these big life questions where you will be accepted and your views will be respected. Of course, if you want, you can sit and just listen, but you can also ask the hard questions. And what I want to do is walk with you on your spiritual journey. The course deals with these kinds of questions. The very first talk of the course is, what is God like? The next session, the topic is, who am I? And then third, what's wrong with the world? Well, these are the kinds of questions we ask, aren't they? Here's reason number four to investigate the Christian message, and that is to find God's help when your life is falling apart. Now, I'm not saying that this is all of us. Not every one of us is facing a life crisis right now. You may be enjoying life, you may be having a good time, but coming to a place where you say, isn't there maybe more to life than just having a good time? But in all likelihood, there are some people in here who truly are in such a desperate way personally that you're just ready to shout to the sky, God, I need your help. Because you know there's nobody else who can help you. You know something? God loves cries for help. He's a specialist at desperate situations. And then the fifth reason to investigate the Christian message is because something inside you says there must be more to life than just existence. Now, philosophers and psychologists recognize it as a basic feature of human existence. They call it the search for transcendence. And basically, it's this idea that something deep inside of us yearns for something more, something beyond just ordinary existence. Think about how your life goes. Your alarm goes off in the morning. What do? You groggily reach over and hit the snooze button, trying to eke out just a few more minutes of sleep. And then when your alarm goes off again, you jump up, you rush and get in the shower, you eat your breakfast and out the door to work. You work hard all day. And then you come home tired, you eat some dinner, maybe you watch some TV or hop on the internet or read for a while, and then you fall into bed exhausted. And the alarm goes off. You hit the snooze button. It goes off again. You jump up, take a shower, eat breakfast, and off to work. You come home tired, you watch some TV, get on the internet, and fall asleep. And the alarm goes off. You jump up, take a shower, off to work, back home, eat something, read for a while, and into bed, and the alarm goes off. Now, answer me this. Isn't there something inside you that says there has got to be more to life than getting up, going to work, coming home, watching TV, and sleeping? Well, the resounding answer of Christianity is yes. Life is so much more than that. In fact, even the mundane things of life can become full of meaning. I encourage you to come and find out why. So, I think that's five good reasons why you should investigate the Christian message. Now, how did you answer my initial question? Are you a destination person or are you a journey person? Because if you're a destination person and all you're interested in is information and answers about Christianity, I want to make you the first of the two promises of LifeWorks, and that is this: you will learn a lot. You're going to come out of the LifeWorks course with a great understanding of the Christian faith. In fact, probably better than many Christians. If you're a journey person, then let me make the second promise of LifeWorks, and that is that we're going to have a lot of fun along the way, and you're going to build some meaningful relationships as well. you will enjoy the journey. LifeWorks is an investment of time I really believe you'll be glad you made, and I hope to see you there.
So, folks, can you imagine people that you've been working with, praying for, building genuine friendship, that you invite them to come to an evening, coffee and cake, and you let them know you'd like to show them a video, which is an introduction to Christianity? We could do that. In our weakness, God could use you and I. The whole approach is very much built on building friendships with not yet Christian peoples. Clearly, only not yet Christian people can become Christians. And a great danger for those of us who have been Christians for so many years is that we basically only have Christian friends. And this is, you know, there's a clear probability that we could have built a really strong friendship or have strong friendships already with not yet Christian people, and we invite them and they could say no. And that would not alter our love for them. This is not put a target on somebody's back. This is being the true God, the true people of God, who, as we are loved, we love. And if our invitation didn't accept it, we don't drop that friendship. We continue to serve and love those people. But God is into using weak people like you and I. So could we have a faith for that sort of breakthrough? And just very briefly, could I show you the following? So if we had a person or people who, if we had people who said, you know, I really would like to continue with this. So just that video you just saw is just a 15-minute introduction, and then people make the decision as to whether they'd like to continue with you or with the group. And there, I'm not going to go through, but the plan is it's very much pre-evangelism. And then toward the end, it's calling people to, would they consider committing themselves to Christ? Clearly, it doesn't matter how good a program is, a program cannot do that. Only the Spirit of God can do that. But he led us to Jesus, so surely he can use us as an instrument to connect to other people. So I'm concerned that you don't hear this reminder again as somebody hitting you with the rod. But to hear that this is something which God, well, certainly the leadership of this church believe that God has called us to spend longer than we've ever spent before on any topic in the history of this church, 2.5 years focusing on the Great Commission that every Christian is called to be involved in. This is not God hitting you with the rod. It's a God saying, I can do this work through you. A number of you have done the Life to Life program. It's the Life to Life program works through these 10 principles. I've personally found it, and I've been a Christian for a long time, and I have been involved in seeing other people come to Jesus. I've learned so much from this program. Even if you felt you couldn't do LifeWorks, then just these 4 principles could still put you in a place where you could invite somebody to come to a LifeWorks evening and see whether they'd like to travel with you. And they are these principles here. The first one is a sense of sentness in every circumstance and encounter. That we are God's hands and feet now. The kingdom grows. We get multiplication through ordinary or extraordinary Christians like you and me. This is the bit that I think is so attuned to our culture and to the difficulty in seeing Christianity grow in Australia. It's building real friendships with non-Christian people. And folks, I want to be really bold today and say, I'm convinced that that is what God is calling every one of us in this room to be engaged in, to build relationships with non-Christian people. It doesn't matter what age we are. It doesn't matter where we are in our life. That's a calling. But it's not something we have to whip ourselves into. It's a matter of just putting that before God. And He will direct us to people, or the people are already in your life. Jumping one, the fourth one, or the third one today, is to pray. To pray our hearts out for our non-Christian friends. To be just constantly bringing them to God in prayer and preparing them even for that invitation that we would like to make to see them do life works. And the fifth one is that links so beautifully with Tim Lechter's teaching to us is accepting my inadequacy and trusting Jesus to reach people through me. Folks, Jesus reaches people through people like you and me. It's probably not going to happen that one Sunday we're going to arrive at church and there's going to be 25, 30 people rolled up here and they're all seeking Jesus. God's way is through us. And that's not meant to be a burden. That's to be something that we can engage in. So just want to go back to what encouraged me so much, and I'm hoping it's encouraging you. First of all, from what Nigel left with us, the four men, have a method, have a unity, have faith for a breakthrough. Folks, we cannot afford to let evangelism shift die in this church and we just go on to some other nice teaching. Otherwise, we will be part of a church which, and let's be honest, we are very good at looking after each other. There's a lot of care and support in this church. That is not the only calling for a church. Our calling is also to be sharing this wonderful news that we know has made such an impact on our lives. Those four points that I just went through, that God will enable us if we put ourselves in before Him. And even if we're not ready now to invite somebody to a life works, don't let it just fall to the ground. Maybe you've got to spend a year praying that God might guide you to the right people. That's a good investment. And to really, really keep building those relationships. And in all of that, Tim Lechter's teaching to us, it's fine to be inadequate. It's absolutely part of the kingdom of God to feel weak and to be strengthened by the living God. Just two practical things to finish. One, people can still do this. It hasn't finished. The best way to do it, I believe, is actually in what's called a, what's that little group called again? The words, a huddle. It's just two or three people. And you can meet as often or as in often as you like and you work through and it's just so helpful. The other thing is if you get to a point where you are ready to invite some people and to show the introductory LifeWorks video, please see me because you need to see a video from John before you show that. Because it gives such excellent direction in how to run that. That group is not about Christians pushing stuff down people's throats. It's very much the opposite. It's about us actually backing off and just allowing people to explore where they're at in their faith or trying to find faith. So please, if you do invite some friends, or you can just invite one person and do it in your house. That's the idea. This is the household thing, not a church thing. Although there has been a suggestion we could even be doing that on a Sunday morning with people who are coming in to the church, which would be fantastic. So just they're two practical things. And just to finish, and I've probably, just on time, I would like to not just close in prayer, but just to sit down for a minute and ask you, what resonates for you today that you could take home and explore further with Jesus? You can have I'm not saying mine is, but I think we have really good teaching in this church. The key is, do we take it out of the doors and take it home? So could you just for a moment be brave enough to say, Spirit of God, is there something that you want to say to me today from this reminder about Evangelism Shift? And secondly, another invitation, what would it take for you to consider the invitation to join a huddle, get together with a few people and work through this? I think we can honestly guarantee you would be richly blessed. So a minute for you, so I'm not speaking, and then I'll just close in a short prayer. Pray. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for the good news about Jesus. We want to thank you and praise you for your Father heart. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you and praise you and fall at your feet to say thank you for the way you lived as how the Father always planned, in total dependence on the Father, and Lord Jesus, your willingness to give yourself for us. Holy Spirit, thank you for inviting us into this wonderful kingdom. Thank you, the triune God, for all that you have done for us to be your children. And many of us in this room have been your children for a long time. Lord God, would you work within each of us that we might have the joy and the privilege of seeing friends or people that you lead us to, that we build friendships with, coming to know you. The thrill of being able to disciple people and see them grow in Jesus and see families blessed and lives changed. Father, our sense is that you've called us to do this, and we know you can do it through us, and we thank you so much that you've chosen to work through weakness. We give ourselves to you in weakness to be used by you in the name of Jesus. Thank you.